So I remember growing up at night, I used to sleep on the floor. I had a bed, but there was so much gun violence in my neighborhood, my mom wasn't taking any chances. I remember one night I rolled up in my blanket on the floor and I read this story, Plato's Allegory of the Cave. And the story is about, you know, a bunch of people that are born and raised in this cave, and one guy manages to escape the cave and discovers a beautiful world outside of this cave. Unfortunately, after he's enlightened, a guard spots him and says, "You have to go back down in the cave." And he tells him, "You have to go back down there because that's your place. That's where you people belong, down there in the cave." And so once he's back in the cave, his friends mock him and they tease him for trying to be different, for trying to buck the system. And then the story ends. So this story made me think about my community. We had a homicide rate of almost 500. There were shootings every single day in my neighborhood. And I was wondering, like, why are we killing each other? Before the age of 16, I buried five of my friends. People would tell me, "Just, it'll be all right, just go to school, Chris." And then my brother was shot 7 times. And then my cousin was shot 17 times. And then a few months later, I was knocked unconscious by a police officer. And when I awoke, he was raping my mother. And then he took a service weapon out and he bashed her skull in. She lived, but she was never the same. I was never the same. At the age of 17, I walked around with the scars equivalent to a war veteran. I had become desensitized to violence. In my hood, just like in the figurative cave, they would say, "Oh, we got is us, Chris. We got to stick together." But these same people came after me one night, and I ended up taking a person's life. And while in jail awaiting trial, people came to my father's house, and they cut my father's throat, and then they tortured my brother. To make matters worse, I was found guilty and sentenced to natural life in prison. It was as if I was teleported to another planet. Strip searches every day. No privacy. No women. This situation reminded me of the story I read as a child. I knew in my heart that I was a good person and that I could change. And so I wrote up a plan, not an escape plan, and sent it to my judge. And on this plan, it was, I wanted to get a high school diploma, a college degree. I wanted to learn Spanish. I wanted to be free. Most importantly, I wanted to return to my community and change the self-destructive thinking of my community. And so every day, all I did was study, go to therapy, and exercise. Prison officials would tell me, "Chris, life means life. Your place is in here, not out there in the world." I read hundreds of books. I earned my high school diploma. I earned my college degree. I've learned every vocational trade there was in there. I started a book club. I started a career center. I became a mentor. Oh, and I put on 40 pounds of muscle. Finally, I had my day before the judge, and she told me, "You know what, Chris? I'm going to give you a second chance, but you can't go out there and just be a regular person. You have to finish your master plan." And so I ended up spending 16 years in prison, almost half of my life. And when I finally came home, my mom called me, and she says, "I can't believe that you're home. You know, I just want to tell you that I love you." And I was like, "All right, Mom, I love you too." And when she hung up the phone, she committed suicide. She never even had a chance to see me as a free man. So if my mom was out in the audience today, I would say to my mom, "I only been home 18 months. I'm a student at University of Baltimore with a full scholarship. I am the owner of 2 successful businesses. I'm a director for a workforce program for Greater Homewood, and my mission is to lead people out of the figurative cave and show them that despite all the things that you're going through, despite how hard life is, the world is beautiful." I would say, "Mom, last week I helped a guy in my community, a guy who was dealt a bad hand just like me, a guy who struggled to feed his children. You know, tears ran down his face. When I shook his hand, I pulled him close and I said, 'You're going to be all right, man. I'm going to help you. I understand.' Today, this person is feeding his children. This guy has a career. Mom, this is what you raised me to do. I love you. Thank you."